The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. Currently, we are looking at the various meanings of the words saved and salvation in the New Testament. We're looking at five very important biblical books. We've done a few episodes on Paul's letter to the Romans. We're going to take one more look at that today, and I think you'll find it very interesting. So let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're discussing salvation in five different New Testament books. We've been going through Romans, and we're about to go through the last occurrence of the word salvation in Romans, and that appears in Romans 13:11.
Right.
And so far, what have we been arguing? That salvation in Romans is not justification. It's not what Paul talks about in chapters 3 and 4. In fact, the word salvation doesn't even appear in those chapters.
Right.
So for Paul, salvation in Romans is something other than being justified. It's not even being born again, because he's telling born-again people, justified people, how to experience this salvation.
Exactly. And we started in Romans 1:16 and following, and we saw that salvation there is for the believer, Jewish and Gentile believers, and it's from the wrath of God, Romans 1:18 through 32. At the next three uses of soteria, or salvation, in Romans, again, it's dealing with deliverance from wrath in this life, deliverance from temporal judgment, and we'll also see this in the last use of soteria in 13:11.
All right, so 13:11 says this, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." So this is, how can salvation be nearer? It sounds like Paul is talking about himself. He's talking about everyone. Aren't they already experiencing this salvation?
Right. Well, part of the confusion is some commentators see this and they refer to what is sometimes called final salvation. They say we have initial salvation now, but we're going to get final salvation when we die. Now, the scripture doesn't actually speak this way, but let me give you an example. Dr. Whitmer in the Bible Knowledge Commentary says that the salvation here refers to, quote, "ultimate or final salvation realized at the return of the Savior," unquote. Now, he doesn't explain exactly what he means by that. Doug Moo, in his commentary on Romans, says, quote, "Some Christians might find it puzzling that Paul places salvation in the future for believers. But in fact, Paul regularly uses salvation and its cognates to denote the believer's final deliverance from sin and death," unquote. Leon Morris, in his commentary, says, "Paul writes elsewhere, we eagerly await a Savior from there," that is heaven, Philippians 3:20, "and it is something like that he is saying here. There is the thought of eager expectation and the thought that the fullness of all that salvation means is yet to come." So in the case of Morris sees it as it's going to be a fuller salvation. We already have everlasting life, but we don't yet have glorified bodies. We're not yet set free from this evil world. Sure. We don't have the kingdom. So I think that's the way Morris is going. But the way that Whitmer and Moo are going is something along the lines of final salvation. And it's not clear whether they think you have to persevere to get this. I don't think Whitmer would. I'm not sure about Moo. But this is referring to deliverance from the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation period.
The seven-year tribulation period. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Okay. I think this is like the uses of soteria or sozo in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Okay. And when he says our salvation is near, I think he's talking about the rapture.
Really?
That our deliverance from the tribulation is nearer than we first believed. Now, of course, all the people, Paul and all people he's writing to, have long since died.
Yeah, so Paul was wrong if that's what he was telling them.
Well, it wouldn't make him wrong. He's right. The rapture was near. It's just it wasn't near enough for them.
Yeah.
It's just like Zane Hodges, who discipled me at Dallas Seminary and then after seminary. He was longing to be alive at the time of the rapture, and yet he departed this world November of 2008. So far he's missed it by over 12 years.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he was wrong to believe the rapture was imminent.
Okay.
He was right.
I mean, he's technically right. Paul's technically right. The rapture would be nearer than when they first believed.
Right.
But why bring the rapture into this passage? Why do you think so?
I think the main reason would be because he's been talking about deliverance from wrath all the way through the book, and it makes sense at the end of the book that he would talk about the ultimate wrath.
Okay.
The tribulation is called tribulation because it's great tribulation. It's great affliction. It's a terrible experience of the wrath of God.
Okay.
And so I think that would make sense. Now, having said that, this could refer to what some of these others are saying, especially Morris, I think, would be better to say this is referring to our glorification, in which case Paul still hasn't been glorified.
Right.
I mean, he's got some sort of intermediate body, but until the rapture occurs, believers aren't going to be glorified.
Right.
So whether he's talking about glorification or whether he's talking about the rapture, either way, that hasn't happened yet.
But all right.
Paul believed it could happen in the first century. We believe it can occur in our lifetime if we're pre-tribulation people who believe in the pre-trib rapture, which we are.
Okay. So you'd basically agree with all of these guys that this is not a salvation. In this case, it's not salvation from getting spanked by God in the here and now. It's more salvation that involves glorified bodies, that involves glorification. And it's salvation that's more than just salvation from temporal judgment. The rapture seems bigger than that. It's
right.
it's a very important event.
Okay, you make a good point, and this is a better answer to the question you asked me earlier, so thank you for bringing that in. As Moo points out, and both of the others, Whitmer and Morris as well, this is future.
Yeah.
It's not Ephesians 2, 8, 9. By grace you have been saved. That's a past event with an abiding result.
Yeah.
You were saved, you are saved, you will be saved. This is talking about something they don't have yet. It's future. So that leads me to the view that this is deliverance from the tribulation, because it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to say this is deliverance from temporal judgment in this life in the future, and you haven't experienced that yet. Also, the uses of soteria, the same word, in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians bear this out. Paul had a strong burden for the soon return of Christ. In Romans, he did talk about chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, about the judgment seat of Christ, that we're going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And so it would seem to me this one fits there.
Okay, so why does Paul say we should awake out of sleep? Why should they awake out of sleep? Because presumably, whether they're asleep or awake, they are going to get raptured.
Yeah, that's a great point. You do see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're not of the night, we're not of the darkness, in our position we're of the day, therefore we should live like children of the day, and we're going to look at those passages as we go into 1 and 2 Thessalonians. The point is, believers do not, in our position, have the kingdom of darkness. What we have is the kingdom of light. Have is probably the wrong word. We're a part of the kingdom of light.
Right, right.
And that should be manifest in our behavior.
Right.
If we realize the rapture is right around the corner, thinking about the fact the rapture could occur tomorrow or next week or next month motivates me to stay faithful all the time. Now, I think even without that, I would still be motivated to be faithful all the time because I know I could die at any moment too, right?
Right.
But add in the fact that the rapture could occur at any moment, I really don't have a control of when my life ends.
Mm-hmm.
James chapter 4 talks about that. It's all based on the will of God as to how long we live, when the rapture occurs, when we die, all those things. But I think this ties in well because eschatological truth or eschatology is very important in the teaching of both the Old and New Testaments.
Paul goes on to say, you know, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So he's definitely seeing this day is coming, and that should motivate you to change your behavior.
Right. Very good point. When he says the day is far spent, he's talking about the church age.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says the night is approaching, what verse is that? Verse 12. Therefore, let's cast off the works of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that the darkness is coming during the tribulation, and there will be a time of great judgment. The second half of it, called the Great Tribulation, will be the worst time in human history. I mean, billions are going to die in the second half of the tribulation.
So this talk about the night and the day coming and this type of language bleeds into 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, which is our next book where we're going to explore the meaning of salvation. Maybe we can just talk about that, unless there's something you want to add to the Romans.
No, I think I can introduce 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Well, as far as Romans, I would say this. Consider, if you're really interested in Romans, buying the commentary by Zane Hodges, Romans Deliverance from Wrath. It is truly outstanding, and I think it's well worth the cost of the book. As far as 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, it's well known that Paul was writing to the believers in Thessalonica regarding the last days. And if you want to go to some books that deal with the last days, you would think of, for example, Daniel, you would think of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, but you would also think of the book of Revelation, and you would think of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And right. If you want a place that deals with the pre-trib rapture, the place to go, I mean, it's in a lot of places, but the clearest is 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 5:11. And the word salvation or soteria occurs in 5:8 toward the end of that section. And it's in a rapture context. And so we're going to be looking at 1 Thess 5:8. There are three uses of soteria: 1 Thessalonians 5:8, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, and 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And so we'll look at those three, and I think we'll see that all three refer to the judgment seat of Christ. But can you see, Sean, how if you think when you see the word salvation in Romans 13:11 or 1 Thess 5:8 or 9, and you think it's dealing with being saved from eternal condemnation, you're going to totally misunderstand the passage.
Absolutely. You always have to pay attention, and I think that's something that we've been kind of bringing across in this series. And I hope that you're going to tune in to the next show as we kind of delve into this next set of evidence, salvation in the first and second letters to the Thessalonians. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to take a fresh look at Paul's letters to the Thessalonians, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.